Welcome back, UFOFers and freaky fandomites, to another episode of the Fortress of Fandom podcast, the podcast where tonight two guys sit around and talk about nerdy stuff. I'm Garrett, the host, and tonight I am joined by Nathan. Say hello, Nathan.
Hello, Nathan. Hey, how you doing? Hey, good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad to finally have you on. We've been planning this for a while.
Oh man, you could have shot an entire trilogy in the time it took for us to get this off the ground.
I think probably, yeah.
We started talking when it was still. I was still wearing hoodies outside.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's been a couple months. So usually right now we do iTunes reviews, but this week we have not got any new ones, unfortunately. So go out and if you haven't already, review us on iTunes or wherever you're listening. It would help us a lot to get, you know, with the algorithms and getting us noticed and on the charts or whatever. But right now we will play a promo for another podcast that podcast friends that we've made over here called the Lit Gaming Arena Podcast. And I will edit that in now.
Do you want to know things about video games? How about consumer-oriented reviews, honest opinions, hot takes, and predictions? Well, you're listening to the right ad. Introducing the Lit Gaming Arena Podcast, Season 2. We bring you two episodes every week. Terminal News, which focuses on all the latest gaming news you'll ever need. And the LGA Cast, where we talk about all the games we're playing and the gaming industry in general, and we do not hold back any punches. We also have the occasional wacky guest, so don't miss out. Subscribe to us today. You can find us on our website, lga.gg, and on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever podcast app you use. Again, that's the Lit Gaming Arena Podcast at lga.gg.
All right, so... have a few things to talk about. Been a while since we've had a good nerd news podcast episode. So there's been a few things that have happened, even with all the corona going on. Gonna discuss a couple trailers right now. One of which is for a movie that hasn't come out yet, but it looks pretty much amazing. Like, blew me away. I hadn't heard it, you know, anything about this movie until I saw the trailer the other day.
Same.
Movie is called The Tax Collector. Stars Shia LaBeouf. Let's see, I should have pulled up the IMDb for this, but Shia LaBeouf.
George Lopez.
That's right.
The guy that plays Hector in most LA-based films.
Yeah.
You know exactly who we're talking about. Yeah.
Let's see. Lana Parrilla, Chelsea Rendon, George Lopez, Bobby Soto. Some big names. Some good big names. Most of them are, you know, Hispanic. So that's it's always good to see, you know, some diversity in casting.
It's good to see diversity, and I think, excuse me, the important thing is this story seems to be centered around, like, that sort of sect of Hispanic lifestyle. I read an interview, actually, on this, David Ayer, because he was defending a lot of people who are upset of the Shia LaBeouf casting, talking about how they're doing, you know, brownface, and it's like, did you look at the trailer?
Yeah.
You understand he's not playing a Spanish, he's playing a white dude.
Yeah.
Like, David Ayer is very specific. Like, this is a white dude brought up in that culture. So, it's like, in that regard, I knew Shia LaBeouf was going to kill it.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw his name, I was like, oh, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
You can't really name a bad Shia LaBeouf movie. You can't.
Okay,
that's a lie. Charlie's Angels Full Throttle.
Yeah, there you go.
I almost forgot he was in that. My brain was like red alert.
You'd be hard pressed to name a bad Shia LaBeouf performance. That's
correct.
I mean, he's been pretty much good in everything he's been in. Like I said, there's been some movies that maybe have not been the greatest, but his performances in them are a different story. And this looks to be like no exception.
He looks like he brings such a his usual passion to the role. Like is this ferocity he has as this like tax collector, and like I like how the trailer goes to explain why he has to be the way he is.
Yeah.
You know, he's not just this tough guy for the sake of being a tough guy. He's like, listen, this is my job.
Yeah.
Like, I have to do this. I have to be this, you know, character in essence. So.
Yeah. For those who haven't seen the trailer, the synopsis goes as follows. A tax collector for a crime lord finds his family's safety compromised when his boss's old rival shows up in LA and upends his business. So, Shia LaBeouf is in fact the collector, directed by David Ayer, as you mentioned. It looks awesome. I had not heard about this until I saw the trailer, and I was immediately drawn into it. Like, I'm definitely going to be seeing this in theaters if it comes around. So,
right.
Looks amazing. So be on the lookout for that. Hopefully,
yes, sir.
August 7th is when that comes out. Yep. The other trailer that we're going to talk about is called The Force of Nature.
Man, I didn't know what to think about this. First minute, I was like, what the hell is this about?
I know, it's kind of weird. Like, yeah, The Force of Nature has Emil Hirsch, Mel Gibson, David Zayas, Kate Bosworth. Another one with some big names. Yep. And I was with you, like, I saw it and I started watching the trailer and I was like, oh man, another natural disaster movie. Like,
right.
Like, it doesn't, like, I had this conversation with my last guest, Raph. Disaster movies, like, they seem like they have to continually top each other, and there's nowhere else to go because we've had, you know, 2012 and San Andreas and some of these huge ones that are like basically end of the world type movies.
Right.
And anyway, so this, it kind of looked like this, that's what this movie was at first.
Right.
Because you got Mel Gibson, this old guy sitting in his apartment, and there's a hurricane coming, a class 5 hurricane, and he doesn't want to move.
Right.
But then, like, the cops that are helping try to evacuate everybody, like, they notice some other people coming into the apartment complex, and Mel Gibson's like, oh, it's about to go down, like, gear up.
Right. Let's
go. I don't know. It looked like, okay, here's the synopsis. A gang of thieves plan a heist during a hurricane and encounter trouble when a cop tries to force everyone in the building to evacuate. So, yeah.
So from my perspective on this, it looks one way, like you just said, a disaster movie. And then I'm like, okay, so it's going to be about this dude who doesn't want to leave in this Category 5 hurricane. Okay, cool. And then what happens is you get the equivalent of a Russian, I forget what they're called, but the Russian egg.
I know what you're talking about.
Or an onion. We'll just call it, keep it simple. Get an onion. You get another layer that's peeled off, and you're like, oh, it's a heist, hostage situation type of movie. So in that respect, I do kind of admire, and I'm kind of intrigued to see how it goes. Plus, I mean, I kind of reiterate, say what you want about Mel Gibson, you know, say what you want about the comments that he's made in the past. Like, some of the stuff he said has been deplorable as
fuck. Yeah. But,
you gotta admire his work. You can't take away the fact that he's a brilliant actor.
He is.
And most of the things that he does is good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at Patriot, Braveheart, Payback. God, what is that movie? Maverick.
Yeah, Mad Max.
Mad Max. Look at these movies. These are brilliant movies. And like, yeah, he's kind of said some terrible things. Just like the Hulk. Hulkamania has said some awful, terrible things.
Mm-hmm.
Has he had some great matches against Andre the Giant? Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. Like, anyway, like, point being, I think he's gonna bring a lot to this role. I think Kate Bosworth is extremely underrated.
Mm-hmm.
I think she brings a certain I think prestige. I guess is the best way I can describe it to most of her roles.
Yeah.
Which is what made her Lois in Superman Returns a little kind of, because like Lois is like a hands-on, like she can wear the shit out of like some high heels.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if somebody's robbing the place and she has eyes on a nine, she's gonna do a combat role, tear that dress, and put these two people down.
Yeah.
Before Metropolis PD gets in there. Because that's Lois Lane. She's the daughter of a 5-star general. She don't give a f-.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of my favorite parts about Batman Hush. Anyway, sorry. Tangent. I don't know much about the other guy, the other lead.
Emil Hirsch. Yeah, he's he's been in a few things, but like, he's not been anything you know, super amazing. Like, he was in The Girl Next Door. I don't know if you ever watched that one back in 2004. Let's see, he was in Speed Racer. He was like the main guy. Speed.
Wait a minute, Girl Next Door, is that the one with the porn star?
Uh huh. Yeah, the one.
Yeah, I did see that. I don't remember who he played, but I saw that because of reasons. I was a 15-year-old dude. Like, I don't know what you want to tell you. Like,
he's the main guy in that one too. So.
Oh, okay. That's sort of helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you tell me he was this character on Game of Thrones, that's super. That's awesome.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. He was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but I'm looking through. Oh, he's Jay Sebring in that.
I saw that movie twice in theaters.
Yeah. Didn't, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I know who he is.
Okay.
I don't, like I said, looking through his IMDb, I wouldn't know who he is if I didn't look through his IMDb. But yeah, it looks interesting. It actually Force of Nature came to streaming July 3rd, I believe. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So like, there's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of these movies, I think, that kind of were flying under the radar, weren't like big deals before Corona happened, and probably then just decided to go streaming.
Smart.
Yeah. I've said this before on the podcast, but I've called this, I've predicted this happening, a long time ago before Corona happened. I predicted that movies would start going straight to digital. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. Kind of how they did with Trolls and some of these other kid movies, you know, rent it for 48 hours, like for $20. What family wouldn't do that, you know?
Right, right. Imagine being the first one awake on Saturday morning and you have, you know, Onward for 3 days.
You can
spam that before anybody wakes up.
Exactly.
And I think I agree with you on that, because when Netflix came out and they came out with their own series, I was like, this is literally the future.
Yep.
Hulu started doing it. They actually shot Castle Rock in town. I did stand-in work on that.
Oh, nice.
And, oh yeah, it was, at the time I got pneumonia because I was in. It's my own fault. I didn't wear proper footing. They shot season one. They shot season two. I did a lot of stand-up work on season one, I believe. And I met a couple of the stars, great people. And I worked with a great crew. Delicious catering. Oh my God.
That's awesome.
And they, well, the being is like the streaming, like you said, like HBO Max is getting, like you just said, that alluded to. They have a show coming out, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
And they also are getting the Snyder Cut.
Yep.
So granted, like, it's going to be available to everyone because people don't care. Right. So I'm not really worried about seeing it. Sorry, LOL. You're not going to charge me X amount of money to watch this version of a movie that I should have seen in theaters.
Exactly.
Like, I'm sorry. Fuck y'all. No. Yeah. Like, you're not going to charge me more money to take money, time and money that should have been mine in the first place. Like, what is this evil-ass 90s chain you're giving Henry Cavill? Like, you can't let him have a fucking beard. He's been in stasis for so long. Like, Jesus Christ. I'm so mad at those movies.
Yeah.
They could have been good. Like,
they could have been. They definitely could have been. And that is, you know, we could go on and on about that for a whole nother episode.
So all I'll say it is this. Imagine a world where the director was able to put out the movie that they directed.
Well, and that's, last thought on that for me is there's, because of the Snyder Cut, like, people should be thankful the Snyder Cut is happening. Because, because thanks to the Snyder Cut, there are other movies that we should have seen that are in development or in talks. You know, for instance, Suicide Squad. That's another one that in talks for releasing the director's cut. There's a ton. I literally read a list of movies that are in talks, and I'm drawing a blank now. But there are
no. I'm with you. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Like, it's gonna be amazing. Like, people, like, studios are gonna start listening to directors now. Like, because of all this.
BVS unrated or director's cut was amazing.
Yeah, Ultimate Edition.
Ultimate Edition. Thank you. It made it so much better. It makes so much sense. Like. Mm-hmm. I liked the theatrical version just because I actually liked the layers and, like, a lot of stuff that was under the surface. And I liked Batman's characterization because that's a Batman I like to read.
Yeah.
A Batman that doesn't care. Oh, you're shooting at me because your face is going into the concrete. It's like, yeah, that's a 20-year-old Batman on the job. He doesn't care anymore.
Yeah.
At this point, you understand what happens when you raise him a gun to Batman. Like, you just breathe.
Yep.
This reminds me of that meme. Imagine trying to sell an eighth, and then Batman comes along and breaks your arm. It's like, yeah, bro. Like, at this point, these are the rules.
Yeah, do that. Sorry. Yeah, he's not giving you any leeway.
Oh my God.
No. Yeah.
Sorry.
Too many. No, it's fine. Like I said, we could go on and on and on about that.
Agreed.
But yeah, the Force of Nature, rounding it back to this, you can get it on Prime Video. Another movie that did this just recently. Well, not kind of a couple weeks ago, was My Spy with Dave Bautista. It was supposed to come out in theaters, I don't know, sometime this year, but it's actually on Prime Video now. You don't even have to rent it. It's on, if you have Prime, you can stream it. So.
Is that the one where he plays the cop with the Uber driver, or is that Stuber?
No, that's Stuber. This one, he's a CIA agent, and he gets outed by a 9-year-old. She blows his cover, and so he has to, like, play along with her. It's actually a pretty funny movie. My kids love it. I was laughing at some of the parts. It's one of those, I mean, it seems like every big star has to go through this rite of passage where they have one of these movies where they play with kids.
Yeah. Yeah. They did this at a Rock, like, twice.
Rock had it, you know, he had twice.
Oh my God.
Tooth Fairy, oh my Game God. Plan. Arnold Schwarzenegger had Kindergarten Cop. Hulk Hogan had a few.
I forgot about a Kindergarten Cop. Put the cookie down now.
Put the cookie down. No, that's actually Jingle All the Way.
Is it?
That's a Gene Baldwin.
Oh, you're right. Song. You're right. Put the cookie down. Yeah. Now. Now. Down up.
Get to the chopper.
Get to the
head down. Yeah.
Oh, no, I hear you. You know, and you know what? That's cool, though, because Batista is funny.
He like, is.
I didn't realize how funny he was until Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, he debuted in the time that I wasn't watching wrestling.
Yeah.
By the time Guardians of the Galaxy came, I'm like, oh, it's that wrestler, Batista. Oh, wow, he's hilarious.
Yeah. He's really funny. He is, like,
he's
this
great.
My Spy, like I said, it's got some pretty funny moments for being a kid's movie. I was laughing through parts of it, so definitely I'd give that a watch too if you guys haven't already.
Fair enough.
So yeah, those are the trailers that caught my eye this week. Both of them look interesting, to say the least.
Right.
But yeah. So let's see. A few weeks ago, a new video game came out that was highly anticipated. The Last of Us 2. And I haven't got to play it yet, but I have heard some of the backlash and different things been said about that. So I will hand this over to you now, Nathan, since you said you played it.
So I played the original Last of Us when it came out in 2013, 2014. I fell in love, and I knew I would, because Naughty Dog does very little wrong with their games. They went from doing Crash Bandicoot to doing one of the most unforgettable franchises in video game history, which if you haven't gotten a chance to play Uncharted, you should play Uncharted. They're really fun games, and they're entertaining. It's like playing a movie. Anyway, they came out with this movie, or this game, excuse me, about basically, long story short, it's a dystopian future where a zombie apocalypse breaks out, for lack of a better word, and humans have to survive. And that's literally all I'll give away. So I replayed it because I wanted to get familiar with the intimate parts of the story, and I wanted to be, you know, punched in the intimate feelings.
Right.
Which it was. The opening 15 minutes of Last of Us break you. And if it doesn't, then maybe you're not human. It doesn't matter. Because it hurts. Like, it just, like, I don't know how to describe it. You're just like, why are you doing this to me? And then it flashes The Last of Us. And you're like, I don't want to do this.
You're just starting the game.
You just started off. But, like, I'm shaking and I got tears in my eyes. And you want me to keep going?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, Naughty Dog? So, that being said, they have a couple of the moments. Last of Us 2 starts off pretty heavy. I'm not going to give anything away. But the reason why it's getting backlash is I haven't beaten the game yet, mind you. I'm probably about 40% through. Mm-hmm. But apparently it's due to treatment of one character, and then it's about another. And it's gotten to a point where, you know, the voices in the, I believe, the director or the writers are getting death threats and messages for outrage about a video game that you can choose to play or choose not to play.
Right.
And you're mad about this? Like, do you understand? Let's just take a second get you to understand. Like, they didn't have to do this.
Right.
Like, they didn't have to devote time and money to make a game that you're just going to shit on for absolutely no reason. Mind you, one of these negative reviews came from a reviewer that gave it a bad review that openly admitted to not playing the game.
That makes absolute sense.
So from what I understand, and you can look this up, he got his opportunity and he turned it down and he still reviewed the game, giving it a negative review. And mind you, take away my teat sucking of Naughty Dog, take away my bias, look at the game. Is it perfect? It's made improvements over the first game. It's more responsive. There are still some things that happen that I'm like, all right. And again, mind you, I'm not done with the story. So I'm still waiting for the big, oh, fuck you moment.
Right.
That is very prevalent in games like this. That being said, from what I'm playing, it's everything that I expected.
Yeah.
You know, they've made it more challenging, but they've also done what Naughty Dog is good for, which is they reward exploration. Like, they see, they put you on a path to, like, go this way. But there's also this room over here that you could check out. And when you check it out, there's stuff for you to craft. So, right. I guess it's ridiculous because it just goes into this strain of entitlement that we as consumers have, which we are entitled to. We are entitled to our opinion. But that's where it ends. Like, we shouldn't be threatening the people that make these movies, make these games, make these books. We shouldn't be sitting here on our high horse going, this is how I would write it. Granted, that's an easy thing to do with things like, I don't know, off the top of my head, Game of Thrones.
Yeah. But
look, yeah. Listen. I was very, that's a different podcast. That's a different conversation. I'm still very upset. She forgot about the Iron Fleet. Oh, really? She fucking forgot? Even though the scene before she was fucking talking about them and listening to about them? You fucking idiot. Anyway, sorry. I look at that and I look at like Star Wars, for instance, and again, different podcasts, different conversation, but I did not like Last Jedi. I saw it in theaters 4 times because I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
I loved Star Wars since I was 4 years old. So the first time I saw it and I didn't like it, I was like, maybe I'm just biased because Force Awakens was episode 4 in a shiny new shell, but I really enjoyed it. So maybe I'm just biased. Maybe there's something I'm missing. So I saw it again. I was like, no, I really just don't like this. And then I saw it again, and I'm like, I like it as a movie. I don't like it as a Star Wars movie.
Right.
Then I saw it in real 3D off some edibles, and I was like, all right, you know what? This is a really good movie.
Yeah.
Story-wise and characterization-wise, yeah, I'm going to go take a dump now and come back for the throne room fight. And I did, and it was glorious. Anyway, so... My point being is, like, I look at that film and I appreciate all that Rian Johnson did because I know he's a talented director. I saw Knives Out and I was like, holy shit, this is great.
Yeah.
I know he can do good work. I didn't like his take on it is what it came down to. As a fan, I was disappointed. I didn't think that was Luke Skywalker. I didn't think anything was appropriate as to what he did with him. I think the best thing he did with him was his powers in his final confrontation with Kylo Ren. I thought that was really clever. That was really cool. I thought that was a really cool play to his character. But there's other things in the movie. I was like, yo, so Admiral Akbar is just gone?
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about that?
Yeah.
We're just going to kill Snoke. We're just going to, he's not Plagueis the Wise? Okay, cool. I mean, that's kind of the movie that I was writing in my head
because
that made sense to me. But at the same time, I was like, dog, like, the complaint is, we didn't know about the Emperor. It's like, we got more of a story on the Emperor
in
episodes 5 and 6 than we got about Snoke.
Yeah.
Snoke just appeared.
Snoke was a no one, apparently. I feel you.
And to end out that rant, the final thing I'll say is those movies were driven by Adam Driver. Holy, like he.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, such a masterclass of just raw emotion. Yeah. Oh, he. I loved him. I loved him. I loved him in Girls, even though I couldn't stand that show.
Yeah, he was the better part, the best part of Girls. That is for sure. I didn't watch that. My wife did, and
She's a great writer. She is just she's a great dialogue writer. Her dialogue is fantastic, and she's a very interesting writer. Just by the end of season 4, I was like, I don't care about this anymore.
Yeah.
I unshackle myself of this bullshit that I've been wrapped up in. It's kind of like when you're watching Weeds, and by season 4, you're like, "Wow, so she's just a cool."
Yeah,
like there's no other way to describe the main character.
Yeah,
like, she's just not a good person, and I don't care if she lives or dies. Sorry.
Yeah. No. I get it. No.
Oh,
and I agree with you. Adam Driver, he definitely was the best part of the whole sequel franchise trilogy.
That's the end of that whole rant about it.
It's okay.
Just as people in their entitlement, like, it should never go that far.
No,
like, we're here to receive entertainment. We're here to appreciate it. We should never threaten the lives of people that made a decision that you didn't like. That's bullshit.
Right. Well, I mean, going back to, Snyder Cut, there was a lot of people who voiced their opinions on the absurdity of what the WB execs did with Zack Snyder's vision. And there were, you know, there were threats given on from the release the Snyder Cut people, but not to the extent like you're saying with the some of the people in Star Wars or, you know, The Last of Us 2, mm-hmm. apparently. Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, if you think you can do better, do it. Like,
right.
Go and do it.
Like, raise a bunch of money. Get some actors' contracts in right. Get locations. Uh-huh. Get catering. Get transportation. Get extras. You know, get publicity.
Yep.
Get your tours arranged. Like, if it's so f-ing simple, then do it.
Exactly.
Like, I'm just so, I'm going to watch every Star Wars movie that comes out. Why? Because if I had the same attitude that I would have had typically that I wanted to keep, mm-hmm. then I wouldn't have appreciated Rise of Skywalker for what it is, for what yeah. it was. You know, and again, different podcasts, different times. I wouldn't have appreciated Solo. I thought Solo was great.
Solo was pretty good. Solo was way,
there,
yeah.
There was a good. Lot, there was a lot of, like, why are we, I didn't need to know this about him, but okay, cool. Mm-hmm. But it was an enjoyable ride, and the Kessel Run was amazing.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I wanted. Like, ugh. And Donald Glover was a great Lando. There's so many yep. good things about that movie that outweigh the bad that mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, I'm glad I gave this a chance.
Seeing Darth Maul come back, even just for a split second, was so good.
Ray, I think that was Ray Park, too. He came back and uh-huh. the role. Yeah. Oh, man. So, like, that's what I mean. I mean, that's kind of the end of my little spiel. It's like, we just need, if they could just stop.
Yeah.
But just shut the f up. Look at it. Give in your opinion, but don't take it to the point where you're threatening someone's life and the life of their kids because you don't like this, because this character did this or this way. Like, get over yourself.
Kids, even in, you know, specifically, I, you know, there's, everybody knows that same thing happened with a kid that played Anakin. In yep. episode one, like, he uh-huh. almost, he like literally tried to kill himself and quit acting forever because of that. Like,
that was his first and only role.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Like, Star Wars fans are some of the most toxic. I it is ridiculous, but that's not to say that there are toxic fans in other fandoms. It just shouldn't happen. It's very true. It's just shouldn't happen. Like I said, if you think you can do better, write a fanfic, do right. something, like, you know, pitch your idea to a studio and see what happens. Like, if you really feel that adamant about it, like, do something other than make these death threats that are just, it's childish, it's stupid.
And honestly, like, I think the reason, to kind of play slight devil's advocate with the Game of Thrones, I think the reason why people are upset is because HBO gave them a blank check and was like, can you please go to season 10? Can you do as many as you want? And they were just like, nah, we want to do our Confederacy show. And everyone's like, nobody wants that. Yeah, but we do. And it's like, okay, but you could evolve this storyline. You could go back to this thread. You could carry on this longer than 8 episodes. No? Okay. And we're going to show Arya having sex. I don't want to watch this. Like, I want to watch this less than I wanted to watch Sansa having sex.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of forced upon me. Like, I was, anyway, ranting aside, like, that's the only way I can look at fans' rage being justified. Like, you had a chance to do better and you just didn't.
Yeah.
But threatening someone's life is just the line.
Yeah, it's too far. It's too much.
That's it. Like, I would never do that. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't even write a letter. I just wouldn't. I just wouldn't watch that movie again. I watched the saga over for Star Wars recently, and I did workouts during Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I did my laundry. I was like, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. Just don't watch it. I mean, it's just that simple. Just pretend it does it. If you don't like it that much, just pretend it's not real and it won't hurt you.
Like, the level of commitment that it takes to write out a threatening note to someone, like, it's ridiculous. After something's happened to you.
Yeah.
It's a level of commitment that otherwise would be admirable, but, like, you're just sick.
Yeah. Yeah. Go focus that energy on something worthwhile. All right. Yeah. So next topic.
Yes.
CW has recasted Batwoman after Ruby Rose announced that she was departing the role.
Alexa, play Hit the Road, Jack by Ray Charles.
Yes. Do that. Oh, my goodness.
Sorry.
It's okay. Ruby Rose announced before the first season, I think it was before the first season ended, that she was out, that she didn't want to do another season.
Oh, no, it was right after it. Was it right after? It was on... I think I had just watched the episode, and then I watched the report, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So they have cast a new actress as Batwoman. Being, let's see if I can read my own handwriting. Is it Jarvisa?
I gotta look, but she was on another series. I forgot the name of it.
Godfriended Me or something like that.
Godfriended Me. Yep.
Let me look this up because I'm.
I was gonna say I'm about to look it up too because I know, but I have to look. Hold on one
second. I think it's Javicia. It's Javicia. Javicia Leslie.
Javicia Leslie.
Cast as Batwoman. So, yeah. There was some people who were kind of worried that, you know, she was going to be taking the role of Ruby Rose.
Nope.
That is not the case. Yeah, she's going to be a completely new character.
Yeah.
Ryan Wilder. Pretty exciting. Like, there was a lot of people too who were worried that they weren't going to stick true to Batwoman's, you know, sexual orientation, and weren't going to cast somebody of the LGBTQ plus community. But they did that as well because Javicia is apparently bi, I guess.
Yeah, she's bisexual. And so, the thing about that is that is important because that's part of her character.
Yeah.
Batwoman started off as a love interest for Batman in the 50s, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then the reboot of the character or a different character was realized to be a lesbian.
Yeah.
To kind of combat the fact that, you know, there needs to be a Batwoman. I believe. I gotta look at that up. But Batwoman, Kate Kane, has always been a lesbian.
Yeah.
And to change that, either to take that away from the character or to change that altogether, is kind of it's disrespectful and it's unnecessary.
Right.
It's like when people make the argument, well, let's have a black Superman or a black Batman. No, let's not have a black Superman.
No, not on Earth One anyway. We can do
let's,
that.
Let's use Duke Thomas, or let's use the guy that's from Earth 28 or 31, who's Black Superman,
right?
But he's really the president. Like,
yeah,
let's use those versions of the character. Let's not change things, something that already exists. That's annoying as hell.
Yeah, let's not have Clark Kent be a black man.
Let's not have Clark Kent be an Asian man. Let's have Clark Kent be a white dude from Kansas. Like,
exactly.
Why?
Exactly.
When we go back to the Wonder Years being rebooted, we'll be like, why are we doing this? Who are we trying to impress? Nobody asked for this.
Asked for it. No, so, yeah, Javicia, like I said, she's going to be a completely new character.
Yep.
So the character Ruby Rose played, Kat Kane, she's just going to be done. I guess they're going to write her out somehow.
They'll write her out somehow. And I just want to kind of add to that is I did some little digging of why she kind of wanted out. And it's you know, the official story is she hurt her back and she almost paralyzed herself doing a stunt. To which my cynical response is, well, that's why there are stunt actors. But Ruby Rose is used to doing her own stunts. She's used to doing her own fight choreography. So
yeah,
you would think that that would work. That would be fine.
Yeah, she was great in John Wick 2. That was like, she was,
that fight
was one of my favorite parts in John Wick 2. Yeah.
Yep. And she was good in that XXX reboot that came out recently.
Yeah.
And her, I enjoyed her. You know, I think she does good work. I think she does great work. She's not one of my issues that I had with Batwoman as a whole. The issue I can talk about later was the story. But the point being, her issues that I read had to do with her ego.
Yeah.
I read that she was kind of uppity and kind of like acting like a diva. And she was rubbing the cast and the crew the wrong way from what I read.
Yeah.
So believe what you want. I don't know if I believe that, because I don't really know her personally, so I can't really say. But, I mean, it seems very Ronda Rousey-ish to me.
Yeah,
in the WWE, you know what I mean? Like, if that's the case.
Right, yeah.
It's very much like, I know I'm better than this, quote-unquote, so I'm going to act like it.
It's kind of ironic if that was the case, because it is, you know, only a CW show. It's not like... it's not like anything super awesome, you know?
I mean, you got to look at it. Like, I used to shit on the CW until I realized Grant Gustin makes like $2-3 million a year. I'm like, that's not bad. No. What do you do for a living? My name is Barry Allen, and I'm the fastest man alive.
Yeah.
Oh, you on that little show? Yeah, the little show that's in syndication? Yeah, yeah. That show.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm the Flash.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it is just a CW show, but at the same time, it's solid work.
Yeah. Know? No, there's no knocking the profession itself, but it, like I said,
it's not a full blown
Hollywood production. So like, chill out.
It's also the same network that built up a Superman villain for an entire season and featured him in a 2-minute fight that I'm still not over. So let's not, let's not start shaking pom poms for the CW.
You're right. So, exactly.
He also ruined one of my favorite side characters, but I don't want to get into that right now. All right, Mr. Terrific. I feel you. You're not a joke.
Yeah.
Walking punchline.
Yeah, so I mean, Javicia might, you know, bring in, you know, she might bring in some new fresh blood, fresh air to the show.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who didn't like it. And not like you can, like you said, it's not because of the acting or whatever. It's just kind of the show itself. The writing wasn't the greatest, from what people have said. I haven't watched it yet because I tend to have too much on my plate as it is when it comes to watching stuff. So I'm like really selective on what I take in, and. So I'll let it go for a couple weeks, a new show, before I dive in.
Fair enough.
Kind of tread the water or listen to what people are saying. And yeah, it's like, I'll probably get around to watching it eventually. Just, it's not going to be on the top of my list. Maybe the second season, if people start giving it some better reviews, will change my mind. But
it's again, it's not the cast. Dougray Stott is great.
Yeah.
The girl that plays the love interest is great. The guy that plays Luke Fox is great. It's just the show itself. Like, I don't think it knows what it wants to be.
Yeah.
And I feel like Legends season one had that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Except Legends had the Arrowverse to fall back on.
Yeah.
And Batwoman is kind of like trying to fall back on the world of Batman. The problem is they can't use the world of Batman.
Yeah.
You know, they just now cast a Bruce Wayne. And, you know, the problem with that is, again, that has to do with the structure of the show, is that is supposed to be the highlight of season two. But now, instead, the highlight of season two is going to be fourth wall break. You know, you just said her name. But
Javicia.
Javicia. It's going to be Javicia's charisma and gelling with the crew in the cast.
Right.
Because we have to see how she is as Batwoman.
Yeah.
The focus of Bruce Wayne no longer matters. I'm sorry to say, like, it's cool. We all know it's Tommy Elliott. Like, nobody nobody who hasn't read a comic book is questioning that.
Yeah.
Just like the first time I saw him on screen, first of all, I thought they did Hush really well. I was really excited with how they did him. But the you haven't seen it. It's okay.
I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, the animated. I was like, if you're talking about the animated movie, that sucked balls. Like,
I haven't seen it yet, and I won't, because somebody told me that it was bad, and I'm like, you know what? I love the comic book, so I'm going to leave it alone.
Not worth
but
it.
I'm good. But I think she's going to be good. I don't know about her combat skills, because I knew about Ruby Rose from other things, so I'm curious about what they're going to do with that. One thing I need Batwoman to have this season, I need her to start carrying her two guns, because that's Batwoman.
Yep.
That's Batwoman. She has the staff, she has the batarangs, she has the I don't recall her having metal in her armor in the comics. I don't think she did.
Unless it's been a recent thing that they've added with
all
stuff.
I can't say they did, because in a recent panel I saw she was crushed by Ivy's web, and that wouldn't happen if she had end metal in her armor. I don't know if that's true in the comics, but the one thing I need her to have is her guns. Like,
yeah,
that woman has two identical pistols that she carries around, and you know, just like with Bad Blood, she often puts rubber bullets in it. Sometimes she doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, when she works with Bruce, she probably does.
Yeah.
Same with Jason, although I don't.
Surprise! It's a surprise every time.
Yeah, I don't think like Jason has much of a. I don't think he has much of a leg to stand on with Jason.
Yeah.
Like, Jason, I need you to use rubber bullets. Oh yeah, like the rubber bullets that were in that bomb that killed me. All right, fair enough. Yeah. you got that, buddy. Oh man.
Yeah. All right. So in the same DC thread, Wonder Woman 84.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
Yes. We finally got a good look, another good look at Cheetah. There's a lot of people worried that Cheetah wasn't going to have her signature look, and they were going to do something funky with a redesign. But in a recent Instagram post, I think Kristen Wiig actually shared it. She like her character is going to look more like Cheetah. It's not gonna be just her in a you know, leopard skin blazer type thing, which is awesome, because that's all we want. Like, that's all we want. We just want some comic accuracy.
That's it.
At least a little bit. Like just give it to us. Like, come on.
If you're going to have Galactus in your movie, here's some free advice. Don't make him a f***ing cloud.
Yep. No shadows. Have him be.
Oh my God.
An actual person. Actual
being. If you're going to have Parallax in your movie, don't make him a cloud.
Yeah. Yes.
What is wrong with you? Read a comic book.
Open a book.
Like, just how should I make this? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal was with those. It's like they spent all the other effects money on everything else, and like, oh yeah, the bad guy. Crap. What are we gonna do? Let's make him a cloud.
This is why I respect the actors that do their research and do and like read the books. Like, much as you want to shit on Brie Larson, which I only do partially because she's a moron who thinks that she's stronger than Thor.
Yeah.
the only reason I shit on her, if you want, she read the books. She did the aerobics workout. She did the martial arts workout. She trained.
Yeah.
And she's an Oscar winning actress. Like, she brought it to the role. I just, you know, different conversation.
It wasn't, podcast. Yeah, I mean,
DCDP. We'll just call it that. DCDP.
Yeah.
But that being said, her Benedict Cumberbatch did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jason Momoa did the same thing.
Yep.
What the hell is his name? Hugh Jackman did the same thing.
Hugh Jackman did. People, yep. Tom Holland's done the same thing.
Tom Holland knew he loved Spider-Man. Like, I.
Yeah.
Like, I have nothing against him. My issue with Spider-Man in the MCU is that he's really Iron Boy. But
exactly, yeah.
That's the only thing they got right is that he designed his web shooters and Uncle Ben, and you know, they gave us an Aunt May that's completely bangable, which goes against everything in my cook.
Yeah.
Like I shouldn't see Aunt May and start salivating. Like that's I should see Aunt May and be like, yo, do you need help getting the pickles, miss?
I could
get that down for you. Do you have
definitely
with you? I could help you out if you like. Basket too. Here, let's get a cart. You can put it in the cart and you can walk on the cart and I'll help you do the rest of your shopping. Yeah. Don't worry about me. This is just creatine. I'm a steroid user. Anyway, what's your name? May is your name? My name is Nathan. Nice to meet you. I'll help you out. No, instead I see down. Oh, baby.
Exactly. Yeah. walking around braless. And it's like, what are you doing? Why?
He's like, oh, did you drop this pen? No, leave it down. I'll pick it up. Please. Just, I'll pick up the pen. Woo! I'll pick up the pen. Just don't pick it
don't
up.
Don't move.
Just can I, do you have any ice? Yeah, is it
pillow
hot
or
in
something
here?
Yeah.
Oh god, when's your nephew gonna be home? I need to play StarCraft with him alone away from you. This is not getting any better. Anyway, like that's my issue with the whole Peter Parker MCU. Like that's why Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2 I liked a lot.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. I just think he got shafted because the studios didn't want to work with him anymore, I guess. There's a lot to that. DC DP.
Yeah. That's right. So Wonder Woman was originally set to come out in August. It got pushed back to October 2nd.
Boo.
Big boo. And it could possibly be pushed back to 2021, depending on how Christopher Nolan's Tenet does. If it hits its, I think it's August 12th date, then they'll go ahead and release Wonder Woman 84. In October, if things, you know, continue the way they're going and Tenet doesn't release in August, then that will take the October spot, I guess, and then Wonder Woman will be
we're supposed to have that, and by now we're supposed to have Widow as well, which long time coming. Black Widow is such an interesting character and she needs her show. This I'm excited for 84 for a couple of different reasons. One, I know Kristen Wiig got a lot of shit for playing Cheetah, and they're like, "Oh, she can't do this." First of all, you gotta understand people that do comedic roles and do them very well. They're good actors.
Yes, they are
great actors. You don't do comedy and suck as an actor. Like it takes a lot to do comedy, especially when you play characters that are kind of one dimensional.
Yeah,
like. If you watch Friends and I were to tell you Lisa Kudrow is actually quite brilliant, you'd be like, what? Phoebe? Nah. But in reality, like Matt LeBlanc is hilariously brilliant.
Yeah.
Listen to him talk sometimes. You're like, oh, no, he's... same thing with the guy that plays, if you want to go back further, I don't know his name, the guy that plays Cliff Clavin from Cheers.
Yeah.
He's brilliant.
Yeah.
And he sounds nothing like Cliff Clavin, but that's the point. Is that it takes a lot to bring these characters into life. And I think Kristen Wiig has that. She's just never has been given this opportunity. I'm just marking it right now. Mark my words. Kristen Wiig, after she plays Cheetah and after she kills it, because she will, she's going to be getting a lot more serious roles. Because they're going to be like, oh, she can do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, let's I agree with you.
Yeah.
She's not a bad actress. She's definitely got some acting chops. If you look past... If you look at what she's done other than Ghostbusters, like she's actually got a really good filmography. She really is a good actress. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see how they bring Cheetah into Wonder Woman's world. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be interesting. Let's hope that they can stick with the October 2nd date.
I think they'll do that, or they'll put it to streaming. Those are my thoughts. I think because they want to get it out. And to go on Cheetah real quick, Cheetah is one of those villains for Wonder Woman that she is. A lot of people don't know anything about her, just like a lot of people didn't know anything about the Guardians or Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Right.
So for us comic heads that know comic book characters, we're excited because we know that Cheetah is one of her most formidable characters.
Cheetah is Yeah. Cheetah is to Wonder Woman is like Joker is to Batman. Like they're right there.
Yeah. In their first meeting, Cheetah beat her.
Yeah.
People don't this isn't some rando. This is like you just this is like Eobard Thawne meets Barry Allen.
Yeah.
This is literally that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited for people to catch that hype train. For the same way I was kind of dismayed and excited when people caught the Iron Man hype train in 2008.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we know who Iron Man is. We've known who Iron Man is.
I had people, like, some of my friends explaining to me about his armor, and I'm like, you realize that 4 years ago I was ranting about this and you were telling me to shut the up.
Yeah.
Now that it's made all this money, you're trying to, okay, no, please tell me about the armor that you described poorly. Yeah, no, that's a stealth armor, idiot. It's funny because there was a shift. There was definitely a shift in power when these movies came out. For those of us who saw Avengers and watched the end, my favorite part was me going "oh ho 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 ho," and somebody behind me going "who?
Who's that?"
And then somebody behind them going "noob," and I was like, "Yes." And I looked and I was like, ma'am, that's Thanos. What's Thanos? I was like, good day.
Yeah. Like, one day. Yeah.
Like, just, I know who he is. I read Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I know he's a badass. Like, I know that we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew at that moment in 2012 that we were going to lose because that's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah.
All of these wins have to equal to a loss. Otherwise, why do we care?
Yeah, you can't keep winning all the time. So same thing with Cheetah. Like when Cheetah was originally announced to be in Wonder Woman 84, I think a lot of us were pretty hype. Like we're pretty excited about this. So hopefully we get to see her this year rather than next.
Get to see how Steve Trevor comes back, even though I think
he jumped
out. Or left a grenade and jumped out because that's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see something. Definitely, I mean, he would be older too, though, in 84. So something. There's got to be some kind of paranormal paradox, something
maybe
or other.
Maybe the Flash saved him. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's all I got.
Flash zips in.
Like, he fired the bullet, and then like Barry is like do 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 do, like ran up the air currents in his face through the building, caught him, phased him through time, and then it exploded.
Like before he does all that, he comes back. He's like, kind of in that like in Bruce Wayne's vision. He's like, Oh, came back too far. And then he sees, you know, Trevor falling out of the sky. He's like, oh, I could save him.
Yeah,
save one person.
Save one. Yeah. He meets Bruce later in the movie. Hey, I saved one.
Yeah.
He gets pulled up to his face. Not that.
Not that way. Space-time continuum. You go back and watch Back to the Future.
Oh, God. And all three are on Netflix now.
Yes.
You need to get baked and have a marathon.
Yeah, there you go. Hey there, FOFers. My interview with Nathan went a little long, so we're going to split it up into 2 weeks. So this is the first half of our conversation. Tune in next week for the second half and for more nerd news. Until then, keep on nerding on. Thanks for listening, you FOFers. If you like what you heard, follow and subscribe, and be sure to share and review wherever you listen. Be sure to check us out on Facebook in our two different locations, the first being our group and the second being our official podcast page. Follow us on Twitter at the FOF Pod and email us with any questions, comments, or ideas you may have at thefof.pod@gmail.com. Music is provided by my brother Hayden at twostepcuts.com. Check him out for any of your music editing needs. Be sure to check out and pick up an official FOF Pod t-shirt at storefrontier.com/thefofpod.